This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled Cornerstone.
In spirit and in truth, you can worship anyone. You don't have to. Listen, if we were still under Moses' law, do you know what we'd have to do in order to worship God? Everybody here would have to sign up for one of our trips. To go over there to worship. Well, praise the Lord. We don't have to. We don't have to sign up, even if the trips are nice. Am I making sense to you on this? Do you see what I'm driving at? So here we find a stumbling block. And Israel stumbled over it because they thought they could find favor with God through the laws of Moses. Since you're right there in Romans, flip two pages over to Corinthians, and then go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, what was I emphasizing in Psalm 118? I shall not die but live. I shall not die but live. Are you hearing it? And how shall I live? Well, I'm not going to stumble over the stone of stumbling, the stumbling block. So when this, verse 53, I guess, corruptible must put on incorruption, mortal put on immortality. When the corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is, and the strength of sin is the... Now, have I said this over and over and over from various directions, and what's it saying? That if you want to die, the thing that has the strength to kill you is the condemnation of the law. But I want to live and not die. I want to overcome the last enemy, which is death. I want to be alive and remain the coming of Christ. So, I got to start out as a Judeo-Christian. And where do I start out? I start out in kindergarten. And what's kindergarten? Abraham. And I study Abraham. For Abraham was a man of faith. As I begin to study Abraham, it leads me to Moses. And he's a man of law. And now I'm in grade school and I'm a lawyer. But as I go through the law, I finally get over to David and I'm ready for college. And David begins to lead me out of the law and I find out the Spirit is more important than the law. But after I graduate from college and go into graduate school, now I'm under Jesus Christ. Are you following? Now Jesus has led me free in the law. But I found another law working in society because I cannot be free in Jesus Christ and be in society. For society has rules and laws, traditions and commandments that if we follow, then we offend. So Romans 14 said, when you were those who cannot eat meat, what? Fish Friday. When you were those who cannot drink wine, teetotal. When you were people who have to go to church on Sunday, go to church on Sunday. If you don't want to go on the Sabbath. I'm just needling you for the fun of it to see what you do. And so what we're saying is that we got rules and laws, traditions and commandments, ordinances and statutes. So anyway, I've tried to emphasize again and again that the law is a schoolmaster to point us to what? Christ. Galatians, turn with me to Galatians, please. Galatians 3:24. What's it about? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. Now, did we just get that same idea before? It's by faith that we come. Because they sought righteousness not by faith, but as it were by the righteousness of the works of the law. I bet if we emphasize these two or three more times, we'll get it. I was just quoting from where? Romans. Now I'm over in Galatians. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, but you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now that faith has come, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. But how many of you, like I, have been in religious environments where they put us under the schoolmaster? Let's see your hands. Raise your hands. All right, let me try it again. How many of you have ever been to church? Raise your hands. All right, now, how many of you have ever been under a schoolmaster? Raise your hands. Lord, forgive the others who didn't raise their hands. They didn't understand or something. Listen, everywhere we go, it's rules and laws, traditions and commandments. How many of you have ever wondered, questioned your salvation when you didn't feel like going to Sunday school some morning? How many have ever wondered? Let's see your hands. The rest of you should have raised too. A lot of us. And why do we feel that way? Because of the condemnation, right? Condemnation of the laws and the rules and traditions and commandments. If it's not that, it's something else. I'm just reaching out. Does anybody want to give us some kind of a thing that they've had to overcome recently that was a rule or law that they were put under and they really felt bad about it until they got victory over it? Sometimes it's hard for me, as you know, that I travel. And when I go to a place, first thing I like to do is to just kind of size them up. And when we size them up, I always like to go look it over first, and then I come back and tell my wife whether they can wear slacks or whether they're going to have to wear dresses. You know, all this kind of stuff that goes on. Because as we travel, we don't want to offend anybody. But there are some places, as you might well know, that when my wife and two daughters travel with me, they've got to line up with the dress code or they'll be inviting them down to the altar. You know that. You're aware of that. So we do that. We look at all. Are you aware there's some places that you're not allowed to wear wigs? Yes, there's a lot of churches. Well, not a lot, but some churches where it's very, very offensive for you to wear wigs. I don't know. But anyway, rules and laws. I might warn you, just to let you know, that my wife's mother was put under condemnation, Reva, for wearing glasses with frames, with those little fancy things on the glasses frames. You know, can you follow this guy? You know, weird stuff. Rules and laws. I'm looking for those outer laws, but how many know there are a lot of others? What am I trying to say? That we don't want to stumble. We don't want to stumble over the stumbling stone. And what is the stone of stumbling? The stone of stumbling is Jesus Christ. And He brought us to God through what? Faith. But when we try to get into God through our own works of the law, then we stumble over what has already been set up. The stone of stumbling. You see it? All right, if you saw that in chapter 5, Galatians. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what is this yoke of bondage? Somebody says, well, that's going to the bar. That's going to the dance hall. That's no. You really don't understand it. You've been listening to too many preachers. Listen, the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be what? Circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, by the way, if you have been circumcised, this is not the subject. This is actually if you're circumcised to find favor with God. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the what? Whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, Whosoever of you are justified by the
law.
You are. Now that's a little hard for the old Calvinistic theology, but there it is. You're what? You can get saved, and then what? Go back to trying to find favor with God by what you do through the law, and you fall from... Now this is pretty straight. I mean, this is pretty hard, isn't it? This is almost harsh. Yeah. And you fall from it. And what do you trip over? What made you fall when you fell from grace? You tripped over the... Not the law. The stumbling. The stone of stumbling. But the stone of stumbling was set up so that it might be an ascension stone or a stone of stumbling. But Romans says Israel, when they came to the stone, they... What? Stumbled. But ye had been saved by grace through faith, and so that stumbling stone to you is a stone of ascension. And if it's a stone of ascension, then it's the cornerstone upon which all the other stones are built. And so then, the foundation would be of 12 manner of stones, which are for the apostles. Is that all right? And then another course of 50, and another course of 300, and then 500. Got the idea? As he begins to build his great temple. And in these last days, we as lively stones are being built into that temple of the Lord. And we are still part of God's temple. But it's built on the only stone that can hold the weight of such an edifice. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want to be a part of that temple. I really do. And I don't want to stumble. I don't want to fall. But how many times in my good, honest, religious background have I stumbled on that which I should have been built on? And the cornerstone became to me a stone of stumbling. Why? Because I began to think I was really finding favor with God. Oh, praise the Lord. How are you, Brother Bob? How are things going today in Sunday school? I memorized 15 verses. How many did you memorize?
I didn't miss any for the last 52 weeks, so I got 10.
Oh, you're learning. Or... I've heard it said, Bob, that we got to be conformed to His own image. Is that right?
That's what they say.
And I understood that Jesus wore a beard. Is that right?
That's what
So the only way to be really holy is to grow a...
beard.
You'll never make it, sister. And then somebody said, well, it's what we wear that's going to cause us to find favor with God. So I was in a place a while back, and a fellow came up and he said, Brother Ebo, did you see those ladies? They were wearing pants. I said, well, yes, I saw them, and I noticed they were in pants. He said, well, put them under condemnation. Put them down. They're wearing pants. He said, you know the Bible says that we're to wear clothing that appertains to... How's that go? Help me out, that scripture that... That you're to wear the, you're not to wear the clothing that appertains to the opposite sex. Yeah, what appertains to man. And I said, oh brother, I'm so upset about this, you're right. What are we going to do? And he was getting excited then because, you know, I was playing along. And I said, what are we going to do if we have to wear clothing that appertains to our own sex? And he says, that's right. That's right, make them wear dresses. And I said, oh no, brother. You know, in the Bible it says that the men are to gird up their loins, and that means pull up their skirts. And he looked at me real funny. And he says, is that what it says? And I says, yeah. It says in the Bible they wore skirts. All the men wore skirts. You remember all that, you know. I said, brother, we're going to have to get out our kilts. And do you know that man stomped out of there and never came back? finding favor with God by all that. And would you agree with me that what I'm trying to show is that we trip over the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling, and instead of using Jesus to build on, we trip over what Jesus already did, and instead of finding favor with God, we end up with our face in the mud. How many have ended up with their face in the mud? Well, let's see. All right, raise your hand. We've pretty near everybody here has had a muddy face, because we'll agree that we have made some pretty bad mistakes. Come back with me to Corinthians now, if we've settled that idea. 1 Corinthians 1. And I'm in verse 17, and the subject is wisdom. In verse 19, it's wisdom. In verse 20, it's wise and wisdom. In verse 21, it's wisdom and wisdom. In verse 24, it's wisdom. In verse 25, it's wiser. In verse 26, it's wise. In verse 27, it's wise. In verse 30, it's wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 1, it's wisdom. In 2:4, it's wisdom. 5 is wisdom. 6 is wisdom, wisdom. 7 is wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. What's the subject? All right, we don't have. You want to come back and check it again? Well, then let's go back to verse 22. For the Jews require a, but the Greeks seek after, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness. That's the opposite of a sign. What's the opposite of a sign? A stumbling block. What's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks want wisdom. The Jews, then when they got their sign, which should have been a milestone, became unto them a what kind of stone? Stumbling stone. For this was definitely a milestone, Jesus Christ, at the right time, at the right place, exactly according to God's cycles. They even were looking for the return of the Messiah back then, weren't they? All of them were. Herod, the chief priests, they all were looking for the Messiah because they knew the time, the milestone. And Jesus became the stone. But instead of being a milestone and a sign unto them, he became a stone of stumbling. So the Jews and the Greeks, and now I'm going to try to hook Jews and Greeks together. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the power of God is like unto the sign, and the wisdom of God, that's to the Jews, give us a sign. Prove who you are. He said your law requires two signs, two witnesses. All right then. What the Father said about me in my words, there's your double witness and your double sign. How many know a sign is a witness? Have you ever seen a sign that said stop? Well, if you go by it, it'll witness against you on your ticket. Is that right? So the sign and this witness, and Jesus is our sign and witness. But because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, Now what I'm going to try to do in verse 24 is connect the thought and bring them together, bring together the thought of the Jews and the Greeks coming close together and not being far apart if they're in Jesus Christ. But if Jesus is foolishness to the Greek, he can't come in. But if Jesus is a stumbling block to the Jew and he's trying to find favor with God by the law, then he can't come in either. Now come back with me to Ephesians 2 about Jews and Greeks. Ephesians 2, 20. And I build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. You remember all this in Peter, same basic idea out of Peter. But come back with me now to verse 14 in order to get the context of what he's saying. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Now we were just reading in Corinthians about Jew and Greek, and they weren't one because Jews were looking for a what? Sign and became a stumbling stone. Greeks were looking for a what? Wisdom became foolishness. But now they're one. And how do they become one? In verse, he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the what? Middle wall, a partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What is the enmity? What is the middle wall of partition that kept us apart? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Are you seeing it? You see what I'm driving at? This enmity, this thing that's keeping us apart from one another, is clearly described right here as the what? The law. And that's what Jesus came to abolish. What keeps you from visiting the church down the street? Some law, written or unwritten, isn't it? What keeps you from having fellowship with the, help me out, with the Greeks? Well, those guys don't even keep Easter on the right day. And so we reject them and they reject us because of the rules, the laws. Do you see what I'm driving at? And Jesus came to break all this down. And what have we done? We've come right along and I've heard it said you'll never get caught in the rapture unless you speak in tongues. How many have heard it said? Mm-hmm. What does that become then? And naturally that brings all the Christians together, doesn't it? Oh no, what does it do? Separates them. Now if you're in the CBMC, you can't go to the Full Gospel Businessmen or vice versa or something like that. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because of the rules and the laws and the commandments. And Jesus came to bring them down and we turn right around. What do? Build them up. You got it? And in every time when we build up these rules and laws as a partition between us, we stumble ourselves over the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ, who came to actually abolish. Isn't that what it says here? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That enmity that he has slain is very clearly, in verse 15, the what? So he took the law And the Bible says that he took the ordinances which were against us and, say it, nailed them to the cross. Is that biblical? Is that what it says? He took the ordinances, isn't that what it's talking about? Which were against us and nailed them to the cross. And Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, took the keys of death on the grave, ascended back to heaven, and we got the ordinances and pounded them back on the doorpost. Give me a nod. And that's where it is. That's where the whole problem is. Because we're still trying to find favor with God by what we do and what we don't do, by our rules and laws, commandments, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all going to perish with the using. But did you notice something else? With the commandment came also, when the law came, sin revived and I died. Is this biblical? Is that what it says? So if the law came, what brought my death?
Breaking the law.
Well, where there is no law, there is no...
Sin.
It says, I'm not making this up, it's biblical. You see, when Abraham did that to his wife, it wasn't sin. Why? No law. So he got away with it. Because he was a child, a baby. He was one of the very first in the Christian, you know, the Judeo-Christian religion. He was Father Abraham, the first guy. So he could do that because there was no law against it. But when the law came, sin revived, and 450 years later, they died for doing the same thing that Abraham got away with. Are you understanding? Do you see what I'm driving at? And so now, we find that the law, is it good or bad? What's he saying in Romans? Is it good or bad?
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.